If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
And welcome to the Valentine's Day special edition of Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. Our topic of the week is love. Miles is on the phone. Miles, you think you may have developed feelings for a robot. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. And it's just a little difficult to talk about because the robot I feel... I'll call her by her name, Roomba. She, it doesn't seem as though the affection is reciprocated.
Now, for listeners who may not be aware, Roomba is a small vacuum cleaning robot. Would that be an accurate description?
I mean, it's a physical description.
Yeah.
But I would say Roomba is a creative, industrious, hardworking and vivacious robot. I would say that they would be the words I would use to describe her.
Right. How long have you owned her?
Oh, I haven't owned Roomba. Roomba's been in my life now for 9 months.
Sorry, that was very insensitive the way I phrased that.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, I think that we're getting used to the language we use around robots.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and yeah. You know, traditionally, I think we did own, you know, machines.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, they've become more than that.
Let me ask you this then: how did Roomba come into your life?
Roomba was a gift. From
in all senses of the word, it sounds like.
Oh God, you're going to set me off here, Dave. yeah. So, it was a gift from an ex. Prior to us breaking up, I say gift, she left Roomba in the apartment before she left. I think she forgot about Roomba. But that first morning I woke up and I turned over to where my ex used to sleep beside me on the bed. And there was just a void. I felt real loneliness.
Mm.
And I really didn't know what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And then Roomba just kicked off.
Right.
And she, as she does every morning at 10 o'clock, she just went beep and headed off around the house to do a bit of cleaning.
Yeah.
And it, you know what? At that point, I knew I wasn't going to be alone.
Yeah. And I suppose she cleaned you up in a way, didn't she?
In a way she did. In a way she did, I guess. Yeah, because I was a mess after Carol left.
Mm.
And Roomba really went out of her way to make me feel special, to look after the place. Do you know, because I just wasn't looking after myself. And
she took care of you.
She took care of me, yeah. And sometimes if, you know, when in my lowest moments, I would lie down on the ground and I'd let Roomba just sort of like bump up again.
Okay, let's keep it PG. Carol is on the line. Carol... unfortunately, has been listening, and she wants Roomba back.
I feel sick.
You all right?
I thought when I left the house that you would maybe cop yourself on and grow up a little bit, and to find out that you have been sleeping with an appliance that we bought together behind my back. You have no idea the hurt that you've caused, Miles. You've no idea.
Well, I want to say a couple of things to that. You have no right to have any opinion on what I'm doing.
I have no right?
No, you walked out that door, Carol.
Can you blame me? Can you blame me?
Was this the first appliance that you were carrying on with?
No.
Okay.
It is not,
okay,
and I don't care what you say. I saw the way that you were looking at that George Foreman grill.
It was completely platonic
and
between
I
me and George.
The way he would have it off and he would run his fingers down the spines.
You have to clean the spines, Dave. You can't leave the spines.
Not with your fingers, though.
Well, slowly.
Disgusting.
Well, this all started, I will say, because George and I were left on a long weekend because Carol was away with the girls.
I didn't leave you. I took a holiday.
Who was there?
I'm allowed to have friends.
You are allowed to have friends. You're allowed to have friends.
I suppose Miles would say that he's allowed to have his friends as well.
They're not friends. They're objects. They're sex toys.
They're not sex toys.
Is essentially what they are.
They're so much more than sex toys.
Well, Miles, I want to ask you now, was there anything physical between you and George before Carol left? Be honest.
Not more than once.
Right.
Well, I'd say that because it was very quick.
Bold as brass. You rubbing your fingers up and down.
Yeah, well, the fingers were fine. I was cleaning.
It wasn't even dirty.
You shouldn't clean things with your fingers, Miles. I'm not here to judge, but that sounds odd.
It sounds odd. Yeah, sure. I understand where you're coming from with that. I understand that. But if you've lost the little, it comes with a plastic attachment so you can scrape off the grease.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And now the George Foreman didn't have grease on it, but I was thinking to myself, how would I clean it if I didn't have this attachment? And I said, well, maybe I'll use my fingers.
Okay.
So I dressed up, in kind of like a nice, just sort of lacy underwear. And I lit some candles and I just...
My underwear.
Why was that necessary? Because you kind of, you had me up until...
I might have the attachment gone. So I wanted to figure out how I was going to clean it with my fingers.
No, I get that bit. But why the underwear and the candles?
Well, the candles because the lights were off.
Yeah, but presumably you had turned them off.
You can't see candles if you've lights on, Dave. I don't understand what the problem is.
We had to unscrew all the light bulbs because he was interfering with them. That's why the lights were off.
Okay, well, look, this is getting a bit seedy for this show, if you don't mind me saying.
Okay.
Let's just stick to the issue, which is Carol wants Roomba back.
But he can't have
Carol bought...
With me.
Yeah, but Carol paid...
With me.
You were there.
Yes, but I was there.
Yeah.
So Carol may have paid the money, but she left Roomba behind. It's been 9 months and myself and Roomba have created something.
Okay, Carol, how far are you going to take this?
I want it returned. And as well as that, I want it cleaned.
Well, what about the... I'm not cleaning her. I'm not cleaning her.
I need that cleaned.
Well, I won't clean her. I will not clean her.
Whatever
you've
left in that robot, I do not want in my house.
Would you empty her at least?
I haven't emptied her once.
Right.
Not once.
You seem very proud about that. You should empty her, I think.
No, I won't. I won't.
Okay.
Would you empty your spouse? Would you empty your
spouse? If they were filling themselves up with dirt,
that's up to them.
You emptied me of all confidence, of all self-esteem. You do empty your spouse and you can empty Roomba as well.
Okay, listen, guys, I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of this. Stay on the line because we're going to be talking to some different love experts later on. So maybe we can come back to you and maybe we can try and, just break this deadlock we're at. Molly is on the line. Molly, you are in love with a Batman, this says. Is that like the superhero Batman?
No, actually, it was the guy in Dublin Zoo who owns the Bat House.
Okay, so there's a particular individual.
He's called the Batman.
Yeah.
Because he...
It's not owned by the zoo or...
No, it's part of Dublin Zoo. Part of Dublin Zoo. So it's
but
like,
it's a private collection.
It's a private collection of bats that he's found around the city. So it is in Phoenix Park.
Yeah.
It doesn't fall within the grounds of Dublin Zoo.
I get you.
But I spend a lot of time there.
Does he have permission to be in Phoenix Park with these bats? Or is it more of a, the park belongs to everyone kind of thing?
Well, there's no law against setting up a private business in a park.
Oh, I think there might be. Well, not necessarily like a law, but a
regulation. I'm not a lawyer, but I have been looking it up online, and it's a public park, and public means you can do what you want in it.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a lawyer, but he goes around, finds various bats around Dublin, sometimes just outside of Dublin. He's been to Kildare, he's been to Bray. So yeah, he picks them up there. He found a few under under Sean O'Casey, Samuel Beckett Bridge.
Okay.
Sean O'Casey's the little one. Now the Samuel Beckett Bridge, he actually found a couple there. One has partially lost its wing, but they're really, really good.
So what does he do with these bats?
He tends to them. He ties them to little strings and ties them onto like a little stick in the park so they can't fly away.
Oh, yes. Like a branch.
Yeah, a little branch. Yeah. And like a kind of heavier one so they can't fly away.
Yeah.
And they just fly in a little circle.
Circles.
He feeds them. He tries out different stuff because he's not really sure. He doesn't have access to the World Wide Web, which I do. So that's kind of why... So that's actually how we met. I was out for a walk and he said, "Hey, are you? Do you have one of them phones that has the World Wide Web?" And I did. So he's like, "Here are you. Will you look up what bats eat?" And I did. And but there's actually all different types of bats in different countries and stuff. So we just tried a bit of everything because some of them can eat like rats and mice and stuff like that. And some of them would eat like, lychees. So I had to look up on the World Wide Web what a lychee was. Thought it was some kind of worm. Turns out it's a fruit. Went to a few different supermarkets. They didn't have it in Centra. They didn't have it in Circle K. It's a new one now on...
Okay, we're getting a bit off the point in terms of what the bats eat. You fell in love with this Batman.
Batman, yeah.
Batman. We were talking earlier about the legalities of him keeping these bats in Phoenix Park. I have the Batman. Batman.
Oh, babe.
No, not your Batman.
Oh.
This is Batman.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's me, Batman.
Oh my god, from the Justice League films?
From the Justice League films, but also from just regular Batman films.
Oh my god, I love Justice League.
Also, Adam West, the original series.
Oh my god, this is so exciting.
It is, well, it's exciting for you. Yeah. I get that a lot.
What's Zack Snyder like?
Well, I didn't work with Zack.
Oh.
No, I was more, my scenes were with Joss Whedon.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say, you're infringing on a lot of copyright.
Well, no, Molly's just, she's just in a relationship of sorts with this Batman. But I thought you wanted to come on to talk about the legalities of keeping bats in Phoenix Park.
I absolutely do. But I also want to touch on
the copyright. Okay, yeah, okay. Well, we can cover it both. Yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Can I ask, though, like, what do you eat?
Lychees.
Lovely. Oh
yeah,
my god.
Yeah, little worms.
Yeah. Okay.
Little worms that I buy in Centra.
I thought lychees were fruit.
Little wormy fruit. Yeah.
Okay.
They're good away from you. They're kind of, they're a bit of both. A bit half worm.
Sorry, Batman. Sorry to interrupt you there. We have Molly's Batman, Batman, Derek is on the line as well. Derek, thanks
for
calling in.
Hello.
Sorry.
Hello, Derek. No, go on.
No, go ahead, Derek. We want to hear from you. Tell us, about your bat business.
I've been collecting bats for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Right. And the best thing about bats is you can wipe them clean. With boards that have feathers, they get stuff caught in them. And with bats, hygienic wipe, everything's gone.
Yeah, like with the
like a Dettol wipe.
Yeah,
or like leather. If you had a leather sofa, it's easier to clean a leather sofa.
Like a wet wipe.
Than it is a
sweat. Like a wet wipe, yeah. Well, their wings are leather, but their bodies are hairy.
Yeah, but it's the wings that you're probably going to need to clean more often than not. You know,
well, you sound like a bit of an expert.
Well, I know.
Is that right?
Yeah. No,
probably seen it on the World Wide Web. I don't know if you guys can get it on your phone.
No, I want to talk to you.
Oh my God, were you listening to Sarge?
I was.
You're saying
I didn't have a net. I did have a net. That's how you catch me bats.
Oh right? No, sorry.
I catch the bats.
The World Wide Web is sometimes shortened to the net.
Right.
Dave, he has a huge net.
People more commonly call it the net, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a lingo.
It's how I catch me bats.
Is with a net.
As Molly said, I tie them to a string. And sometimes they don't have to fly. I just run through the park like a kite.
And you'll just grab one?
Yeah.
Right, amazing.
I've seen some of these. All these bats are in the best of shape, Dave.
Oh, you've seen Derek's bats?
Now, that's a very serious accusation.
Well...
that you're saying I don't look after me bats. I do.
I'm not saying you don't look after them, but one of them definitely has no wing. We've established that already.
I was looking after him because he lost his wing.
Yeah, but
nursing
you,
him back
you
to health.
After, yeah, nursing him back to health. But you
careful
nurse...
now, Batman, because we've talked about copyright, but we can talk about libel as well if you're not.
Well, I'm only saying what I saw. Right. And what I saw was a man with a stick.
Yeah.
He actually...
And attached to that stick was a string.
Well, hang
and
on.
Attached to that string was a one-winged bat.
You're a vigilante, he... so, I mean,
according
you should maybe should
yeah,
be,
well,
we'll try and
shouldn't
find
be throwing
me, try and find me.
Okay, all right.
Were you the guy that showed up last week in the Batman costume to the
It's not a costume.
Exhibit? Oh, uniform?
Yes.
Yes, your uniform.
My
yeah.
uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, I know you, yeah. I've seen you around.
Okay. Did you see me? I thought I was hidden.
Yeah, you
from
had like a
sight.
Long cape on and like you didn't have a mask, but you just kind of drawn it on with Sharpie. You've drawn a fake mask on your
my mask
on your
was,
forehead.
Yeah, mask was, it was in the laundromat that day.
Okay.
So I draw my mask on if you saw that.
It was really cool. I just think you should like tie your hair back. It's really long and it just kind of, you looked more like Brantonese the Crow.
Okay.
As opposed to like,
not
you know,
the vibe I was going for at all.
Oh no.
Do you think like a ponytail or something?
Yeah, just like, or like you get...
Okay, well listen.
Guys,
I'm surprised you saw me, first of all. Second of all, this man is running through the park.
With a net.
Not with a net, with a stick, with an enfeebled bat slapping off his calves. Because the bat aren't, they're not flying. They're slapping left and right.
Well, they're flying for him. That's what I'd say.
Well, you can't argue with
that's
that.
That's conjecture.
Well, yeah, but if the bats...
Because he can't talk to the bats.
Well,
I can talk to the bats.
Okay, well look... This is the Valentine's Day episode of Phoning It In.
Oh, sorry. Molly. Very combative.
Molly.
Batman.
Yes.
Oh.
Very good, Batman. Yeah, I'm sure you've got loads of bat puns that you break out all the time.
Absolutely.
Molly called in because she's in love with Derek.
Of course.
Oh.
And what we really want to know is, Derek, do you reciprocate those
you
feelings
like
for Molly?
Now, I was very clear with Molly when I met her.
Okay.
I am married to the bats.
All right.
And there's only a certain level of commitment that I can offer her.
Mm.
Because I spend all day with the bats. I wake up 5 p.m. And I stay up all night. And I go to sleep at about 10 a.m. So she's only got 2 hours with me.
Right.
Same when she wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning. With sometimes
Batman, to even just be by your side, to look stuff up for you on the World Wide Web while you tend to those bats, that would be my dream. That's all I ask.
And I appreciate the help. But...
Help.
Bats are very loyal creatures, very solitary creatures.
Like myself.
Like myself. And I'm sorry, but I have to put them first.
Molly, I'm sorry. This is sad news for you after all the help you've given to
Batman. It's totally fine. Well... Zack Snyder's Justice League Batman.
Joss Whedon, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Joss Whedon's Justice League Batman. What's your status?
Oh, I'm absolutely free. Free as a bird. Absolutely.
Free as a bat? You're not the only one.
No, you're very good. But genuinely, like, all jokes aside, I'm very lonely.
Okay.
I'm very lonely, so any sort of companionship would be much appreciated.
Play it cool, Batman.
Sorry. I just live in a cave near Phoenix Park.
Cool.
Don't give it away.
Sorry, but I do. And I have some sort of mannequin that I've dressed up to look like a butler. I call him Alfred.
Cool.
It's a lonely existence, but I tell you what, I have space.
Yeah.
I have space for a partner in crime.
I actually do have a lot of work at the minute.
Yeah.
I've been, just everything coming back, it's... Yeah, it's a busy time, but you know, like, I'll see you around. Or, if I see you, I see you.
If you see me, I'll
yeah,
see
but
you. Okay.
Love finds a way, guys. That's what it's all about here on Phoning It In. Jack is on the line. Jack, you have fallen for your mentor.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It's a difficult one. I am... an avid snooker player.
Mm.
And basically, without being too vulgar about it, he showed me his balls and I fell in love with him straight away.
Mm. So this is a fellow snooker player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met him in a snooker hall, and he challenged me to a match, and yeah, just went from there. Yeah.
Does he know how you feel, Jack?
I think he has an idea. He has an idea. But I've never told him directly.
Mm. And when he showed you his balls, did he show you his cue as well?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he brings his own to the snooker hall, and it's got flames on it.
Flames.
And I just thought it was well, very firm. And...
Okay, well, look, this episode, we're trying to bring people together. I hope you don't mind. We went ahead. We did some research. We looked into your Facebook page, your Twitter, your Instagram, deduction, figured out who this person was. And we've got them on the line. It's Philip. Philip.
Hello. It's me, Philip.
Snooker player, I believe.
Oh, yes. I've been playing snooker now for 80 odd years.
Right. Mm. So you're not a young man, I suppose, it would be fair to say.
Young at heart.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Young at heart.
You know Jack?
Oh, I know Jack. Absolutely one of the finest snooker players I've ever had the fortune to set my eyes upon.
Right, okay.
Very talented young man. A man who lights up a hall when he walks into it. He's got a real gift about him. When I saw him walking into the hideout that night, it was a Thursday, I thought to myself, I'm going to show that man my balls. And I'm going to let nature take its course.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say something else.
I will be honest with you, Dave. I drifted off into fantasy there.
Okay, great. Well, no, not great. I'm sure if you didn't.
I'll try to remain
present. Yeah, try and stay lucid. Are you, then, do you reciprocate these feelings for Jack? It sounds like you do.
Oh, I am so happy to hear Jack say these things.
Well, that's great.
It is so exciting for a man of my age to be invigored, to be as enraptured as I am with a young man, and for it to be reciprocated.
Great. Well,
it's been a long time.
Jack, what do you say to that?
I'm so happy.
Me too.
I feel like I've parted the black at the end of a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We chatted about that.
I've never felt this way about anybody before.
Now, I do want to bring in Philip's wife, Brenda, because you guys have been married for 60 years. Mm-hmm. Brenda, this must come as a bit of a shock to you.
Yes. He's been going to this pool hall now for maybe 14 years, and I was happy to let him go. He's always like snooker. But I'm very, very surprised to find out that my 97-year-old husband is a gay man.
Oh, I'm not gay.
Okay.
No, no, I want you to know that you will always be my tigress. You are...
Baby.
You are the light within
really
my loins.
It really sounds like you want to have gay sex with this young boy.
Oh, I'm not saying that it needs to be just me and Jack, Brenda. I'm saying that finally, honey, we ain't got long left, honey. We got, what, 20, 30 years? But maybe we can do some of the things we talked about. You know, Jack seems to be, he's a young...
Okay.
Well, he's a liar, boy. He may be bisexual.
Well, I am absolutely not bisexual. I do not want anything to do with this dried up old bitch.
Excuse me.
Steady on, Jack.
Very clear.
Excuse me, young boy.
I made it very clear what I wanted from this. And I find it absolutely heartbreaking that you have played with me.
Who are you talking, Brenda?
Brendan played with your affections?
You played with me. You played both games of snooker and games with my affections. Mm. And now you are using me as a pawn.
Not a pawn.
In your...
Well, that's a different game.
A bishop. Oh, it's a different game altogether.
You are using me as a cue ball in your larger relationship.
You could be the triangle.
I feel like the red ball is probably a better analogy for a pawn.
Probably. But listen, I'm so sorry, Jack.
Oh, triangle, yeah.
Triangle could work.
That's I don't want the triangle.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want to be the triangle. Okay, what about, you know the long kind of Q tools that help you reach further down the table? Could help me reach further down the table.
Is it a spider? Is that
spider,
what
spider, yeah. There's a spider and there's an X one. One looks like an X.
I don't want you reaching towards her. The only person I want you reaching towards is me.
Well, maybe it could be me and then you and then Brenda.
Sir, I'm sorry. Nobody agree. You're the only one here that's benefiting from this.
I understand that. Well, what I want to say to that
I'm a 24-year-old woman.
Yeah,
well, come on, Brenda. You know, you've been married for 60 years. We're not idiots, okay?
You do look fantastic.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, now, Jack, if this is going to work, Jack, you're going to need to turn your attitude right around.
Maybe it's not going to work then.
Wow.
I don't know if it's going to work.
I have bought outfits for all three of us.
Okay. Yeah. What are they? What
they're
are they like?
Snooker outfits. Got a nice little waistcoats.
Oh,
yeah.
That does sound nice.
And a little like white shirts for all of us.
Oh.
Shiny shoes. I thought maybe we could shine each other's shoes.
That sounds like a nice idea.
Sexy, yeah.
Yeah, and then we could
like a foot massage, but
with a shoe on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't let a 97-year-old man's feet out and about. It's not. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Listen, Jack. I'm sorry if I misled you. I want you to know that was not my intention, but I wanted to see if you were game. And it seems like you were. And I feel like we shared something in that pool hole.
We did.
I let you hold my fire cue.
I know.
You called it, stumpy?
Jack, would you be willing to just even maybe go on a date with Philip and Brenda? And Brenda as well.
What would I want with Brenda? That's what I don't understand.
I have lots of very good traits.
Brenda,
I am a keen gardener.
Absolutely.
I love to bake bread. I like to play solitaire. Mm. I like to play... Have you ever played bridge before?
Oh, that's a great game.
It's
have
a
you,
fun game.
She plays Have You
it's
Ever Played Bridge
game,
Before
Jack.
Really, really well.
Yep. And I am very... nice person. I like to watch TV.
Can I just cut across you, darling?
Go ahead, honey.
Do you know something?
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't want in on this, then he doesn't get in on this.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you proposing?
I'm just saying that we don't need this guy.
Okay.
Excuse me?
We don't need this guy.
Brenda, okay. Bake your bread and fuck off.
Oh, Jack. I'm so sorry, Brenda,
you
that I brought you in
very,
on this. I
thought very
that
rude
time
boy.
Comes in every person's life where they have to fight for the person they love. And if it comes to it, Brenda, I am not afraid to use force.
Well, this is an elderly.
20. How
woman.
Old did I say I was?
You said you were 24. We don't really believe that.
39.
You're
well,
probably,
honey, you're
I would
you're
say,
closer
80
to my
something.
Age. You're closer to my age.
Where are our
I
children?
I think we all agree.
Oh,
I could
Brenda.
Beat you in a fight, so.
Oh,
sorry, Jack?
I think we all agree that I could probably beat her in a fight.
Yeah,
well,
I don't
no
know if you
really
should be.
Jack, you're a very strong man. You're lithe, like I said. You move around a snooker table like me in 1932. All right? No one's saying that you can't beat the shit out of my wife. But what I'm saying is you
really
can't.
I would really prefer you didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
I would
saying.
Really
I'm
prefer
saying physically
well,
you can.
It's too late, honey.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by you're
regardless of what happens, I'm coming for Brenda.
No, no, but you're going to have to go through me.
I will.
Oh. Well, it seems like we're back on, Dave.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of this today, unfortunately, either. I thought we had a love connection. But listen.
Real shame.
Who
well,
knows?
Myself and Brenda are going to go home and we're going to have rampant sex. I'll tell you that right now.
Didn't need to hear that. But Jack, Philip, Brenda, thank you all for phoning it in.
Thank you.
As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week you'll hear tales of mythic Irish gods, Arthurian knights, or Norse Vikings. There is folklore from Ireland and around the world, and even historical legends like Brian Boru and Gráinne Whale. Whether from poetry or prose, lyric or legend, if there is a good story at the heart of it, you'll find it here. I'm Kevin C. Olihan. I'm your host and Fireside Bard. With over 150 episodes and rising, there has never been a better time to join us by the fireside.
There is a new way to support the show, and it's called Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get heaps of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. I'm going to move on to some other calls now. Lily is on the line. Lily, you are fed up with people commenting about you and your kids.
I'm bloody sick of it. Really, really sick of it.
Well, why are people commenting about you and your kids?
Well, they basically say they're not actually children. They're just balloons with the faces drawn on with a Sharpie. And I just, in this day and age, you know, I just feel like there's, you know, different types of families. You know, there's the modern family. There's, you know, you could have two women raising a child or two dads raising a child, or you could have balloons for children. And, you know, they're different shapes and sizes, some of the long kind of ones, you know.
Right, so you're not denying that your children are made of balloons?
No, they're not. But I mean, you know, they're not my biological children, okay? Yeah. And that's a conversation I'm going to have with them as they grow older, as they start to kind of sag a little bit. But, you know, it's nobody else's business. And trying to get them into a school, it's just been impossible in the district.
Are they not baptised?
They're not baptised. You know, I want them to be able to choose as they get older. but as you know, the Educate Together schools are just impossible.
Yeah, they're
and
in demand,
they'd be open-minded, you know. You think they'd be more open-minded.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Diversity, inclusion, all that kind of stuff.
That's but
look,
it.
I want to bring in your husband, Frank. Do you find people quite close-minded when it comes to you and your kids?
I'll get back to that in a second.
Okay,
if I can,
sure.
Dave. I don't want to panic you. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I was in the kitchen with Declan, our youngest.
Gosh. Okay.
And I was cooking with him.
Mm-hmm.
I let him have a go with a knife.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's popped.
Have you called an ambulance?
I have called an ambulance.
Oh
yeah,
my
of course
God.
I rang them straight away.
Okay, yeah, maybe they were like, perform well, CPR. What? Are you blowing?
I've blown it. Listen, he's just two sort of slack strips of rubber now on the ground, and I've been blowing into
God.
One half, and I don't know which half his mouth is on.
Well, take Clara out of the kitchen at least, please.
Clara saw everything.
Oh no.
She's just in the the corner. She's up in the corner, the roof, just sort of like squeaking. You know
oh
how
my
she does
God.
When she gets
oh
on
my
the...
God. Oh my God.
Well, guys, this is tragic news, but hang on. Stay on the line because I do actually have a doctor who's joining us.
Doctor, what am I supposed
to do? Dr. Richard Zeman. Do you have any advice for this couple? They've had a bit of an accident.
Well, look, it's always very concerning for new parents when they have a child. And children have accidents. They always do.
Yeah. They're resilient though, aren't they?
They are absolutely. And rubber is a very, very malleable material.
True.
And it's something that, you know, can be repaired.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
You know, years ago we didn't have the tools to repair.
I've sellotaped, doctor, with that.
And now, well, sellotape, masking tape,
yeah.
Stereo strips even.
Well, hang on. Are you advising him to do this himself? Like, this seems like maybe they should
maybe
go to a professional.
Yes.
Well, you've called an ambulance, I think, haven't you?
We have called an ambulance. Well, I called an ambulance. They're not coming.
Right.
I explained to them that I popped my child, and then I explained that the child was like one of the long balloons, you know, like
yeah,
the long.
Yeah.
He's a long red one.
A long
he?
Red Indeed. One, and Indeed. you can make him into different shapes. And of course, Declan was like a poodle this morning. You know,
yeah.
He always dresses up. As
we
a poodle
had him as a hash the other day. You know,
he's very creative. Is Declan? Anyway, they didn't want to come, so now I'm blowing into one half of my child.
Oh my God!
Right,
flapping around the place on the floor.
Right,
the dog has the other half.
And the problem with longer children, in my experience, is that when you twist and contort them in different ways, eventually eventually the stress and the strain on their joints and the rubber in your
face. Yeah, yeah. You guys said he was a hat the other day, and then a dog.
I knew he
you
was
don't want to be.
Himself.
I mean, just back and forth.
Just for that child's identity, that is difficult.
Yeah.
If one we day you want living, to force a shape onto him,
this is it. You know, and I just feel you're just being left very him as a regular victim blaming here. You know, we're raising our children the best way we know how, and there's not a lot of information online about raising balloons as children. And yeah, you know, we're doing this in the absolute dark here, and
yeah, in the dark.
Know, yeah, it's really difficult.
No, I feel for you guys. I do. There's no handbook on, as you say, on how to raise a balloon child. Unless, Doctor, I know you're writing a book at the moment. It's not on this exact topic, is it?
No, not. Oh. I normally deal with spherical children.
Spherical.
Oh, we've come up against this, Dave. We've come up against this quite a bit now.
What I would advise for the oblong child is that you do raise them as in the shape of a sea cucumber for the first 8 years of its life.
Oh,
and it develops a resilience then instead of chopping and changing. Because when you change over and over again, it adapts different behaviours to each shape. So, for example, you said a poodle. Mm. You might have your child barking in some instances. Mm. If you shape it as a hat, the child will feel an urge to sit on people's heads.
Well, he did and that. He was very good at
it's,
that.
It's very inappropriate in certain circumstances.
But you know what? We've come up against this, Dave. People are trying to tell our children what they're supposed to be. You know, a sea cucumber. Sure, that's telling a child what to be as well. He just wants to be a balloon.
Yeah, but you were turning him into a dog and a hat.
I didn't turn... Well, no, I turned him into the hat, you're
yeah,
right.
But, so,
but when Lily your children turned, are young, you try things out, you know? I mean, ballet classes, drama classes, you know?
Giraffe.
So we thought it was... And Dave, there's no guidelines
no,
on
no,
this.
No, no one's blaming you. No one's blaming... The doctor's just giving you advice for your other children.
Now, the children came in a packet and there was instructions. There was instructions, certainly.
Yeah.
But no guidelines.
Yeah. Yep. Well, look, hopefully Declan can be put back together. How many other kids do you have?
Well, we've got the daughter in the corner.
Yeah, we have some...
spares.
Yes.
Are any of them...
In vitro, as we like to say.
Yes.
Oh, in the packet still.
In the packet still, yeah. In the kind of miscellaneous drawer in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And you just don't know what you're going to... That's the thing. I mean, they're so small in the packet that I didn't know he was going to be...
He's huge.
Can I ask, have you used helium or just
For Clara, we did.
We did for Clara. Yeah, we won't do that again now.
There's dangers in that, though, Doctor, isn't there?
There is indeed. Particularly if your child is male, their voice may not break until they are about 30 years of age.
Oh, right. I was actually more talking about, if you take them outside, you have to be very careful.
They have to be weighted down,
Absolutely. You
haven't but even more dangerous than helium is water. Because if you even touch a water balloon child in the wrong way, they will
just
have a meltdown.
Well, that's why we don't touch Thomas.
Oh, you do have a water baby.
We have a water baby, for sure. Yeah. But we don't touch him. We leave him in the bathroom. And he's happy enough in there, he seems. Mm-hmm.
Does he like being in the water?
He was a water birth, yeah. So we just decided, we just have the bath half full or half empty, it feels, at the minute. These children just
of course,
popping
yeah.
off everywhere. But yeah, we just leave him there. And, you know, all children are different and have different needs. Mm. And he's not very social. So we just thought we'd leave him there now. And, we have the odd bath, you know.
That's not unusual for regular children as well. If you get a baby who are normally filled with blood and you put them in a bath full of blood, they will feel very relaxed and very calm and happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to just pull him up on one thing, Dave.
Who? He the
said,
doctor?
The doctor, Dr. Z there. He said regular baby. Mm-hmm. And we've had a real
the
problem.
Stigma.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly the stigma.
You prefer the term mainstream or...
Well, I think our child
flesh?
Is just fleshy babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like... If you were going to call them anything, say a fleshy baby. Mm-hmm. Because our babies are regular babies as well. Yeah. They're just made of slightly different materials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is skin but rubber of the body?
Yeah. And look, this language is evolving. It's changing. So we have to give allowances to people.
I don't want to fly off the handle. It's just we're meeting this every day.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry for getting hot on the
Well,
it,
it's 40 years of medical training that has formed my opinion on that. So I've developed... bad habits over the years, and I do apologise.
We all have to.
Okay, so there was an admission there. That's fine.
Yeah, we all have to. We all have to learn to live in a world with balloon children.
I guess I'll just put Declan in the bin then.
I wouldn't advise that. No,
I thought you were going to recycle them try and repair
with a dog as the other half. I just think that at that point it was just mostly sellotape. Yeah. If I had to try and repair that,
right?
We just got extra ones. I don't know.
I think we should just leave it to a medical professional, and I think we should bring them in and just see what they say because
we get the clown in again.
Well, that's brilliant. I mean, they are great,
really
with balloons.
Great with balloons.
Only one who treats them like everybody else and plays with them and.
Yeah, never. He may be called Dr. Bozo, but I feel like that might just be, you know, a stage name rather
than a
stethoscope.
Does he have a
degree? Is what I'm saying.
I don't know. But he's got a white jacket.
He said a degree in laughology, I think it was.
Something like that.
I have seen them before, yes. Yeah. There's a group of them that come round in quite a small car, and about 8 or 9 will come out if you call one of them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he's usually 7th in line. I don't know if that's a seniority thing. So it'd be quite close to the top, I would say.
Yes.
I mean, with that many, physicians working all together, then
it's chaotic, to be fair. Like, when they come into the house, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of horns.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
get results, and that's the main thing.
They do, exactly. Yeah, I think we'll just call him.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Michael Fire, Roxana Nicleam, and Luke Benson. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know we're only getting back into the world, and this isn't going to be about I till February 14th, but do you have anything you want to plug, Roxana?
So many things. So if you want to jump onto my Instagram at Nick Limo, my Twitter at Nick Limo, my TikTok at Nick Limo 88, you'll see the wealth of things that I do. So I can't even remember them. There's so many. So, yeah.
Amazing. Luke?
I do a podcast, a weekly improv podcast with Mark Canton called Look What's After Happening, so check that out. And I want to give a shout out to Aine Gallagher, who's doing a show in Smock Alley, Seen and Heard. It's called A Beautiful Mess, so check that out. I'm directing that.
Oh, you're directing?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Should be fun.
Do you know the date?
Yep.
Okay, we'll come back to you on that. Michael?
I have two things. So I have a small role in Graham Norton's adaptation of his novel Holding. So
cool.
That will be on in March on Virgin Media or ITV. And then I also will have a series out on BBC Sounds, and that's in conjunction with the wonderful Sean Burke and Keira Knight. And that will be out kind of mid-March, I would say. So keep an ear out for that.
Amazing. Yeah. Is that BBC Sounds? Is that like podcast or?
Yeah, podcast. Yeah. It's in conjunction with BBC and I. So,
amazing.
Luke,
do you have the date on that?
I definitely do. As it loads.
While you're doing that,
I would just say
Seen and Heard is an amazing festival for new talent, for comedy. There's a lot of people who appear on this show who have shows or are directing shows or have written shows. So please, everyone, go and check out the lineup for Seen and Heard. I think we're in the middle of it as this goes there, February 14th. I think it's probably bang in the middle of it. But check it out.
The search function isn't the best on this, but it's on. It's called A Beautiful Mess.
Yes.
Give it a Google.
Hopefully it hasn't been on already.
I don't think it has. I think it's towards the end of February.
Okay, great. Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the Head Stuff Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Yay!
Nice, guys.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Well, there's three of us. Why not another love triangle?
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.